will be selling 50-50 raffle tickets after all masses this weekend. Tickets are $1 each, or 6 tickets for $5. The winning ticket will be pulled at their next meeting this Tuesday, September 15th. See page 3 in the bulletin for all the other meetings this week. Let us rise and sing praise to our Lord.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Led on their way by this triumphant sign, the
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Didn't the Lord give us a glorious festival weekend?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. I don't know where you park, but it doesn't seem to deter anybody from getting to church, and that warms our hearts. A special hello to those who are with us at home. If you don't know, this is one of the big weekends of the year at St. Linus, where our parking lot is full of rides and tents and food booths as we have our annual festival. And it's a great, great outlay of tremendous energy and then a great return of friendship and relationship. On this first day of the week, day that Jesus rose from the dead and began the new creation, we gather here to give God worship and praise, our first duty. And we begin, as always, by examining our conscience so that we can acknowledge our sins, so that we can be purified by his grace.
Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to one another and to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you intercede for us with your Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
And peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High.
Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit,
in the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, our Creator and Guide, may we serve you with all our heart and know your forgiveness in our lives. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. He is near who upholds my right. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let us appear together. Who disputes my right? Let that man confront me. See, the Lord God is my help. Who will prove me wrong? The word of the Lord.
Of the Lord, I will walk in the land of the living.
reading from the letter of St. James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Indeed, someone might say, you have faith, and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. May I never boast in the cross of our Lord, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Alleluia.
Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. Still others, one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this he turned around and, looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. Who's had an opportunity to visit the festival so far? I hope you're enjoying yourself. I've had the opportunity to work at the church booth, at the St. Linus booth, and I hope you'll visit that booth if you haven't done that already. But one of the things that I've noticed being in the big tent is that it's very difficult to have a conversation, particularly when the bands are playing. And if somebody asks you a question and you aren't paying close attention, there's a real good chance you're not going to hear what that person is asking you. In today's gospel, it was Jesus who was asking the questions, and the questions that he was being asked are worth note. We need to hear them. We need to hear both the questions and the answers. Jesus begins by asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And that question suggests right away that there's a substance to Jesus that is beyond the ordinary. Imagine either me or one of you saying to people around us, "Who do people say that I am?" As if it weren't already obvious. That would be pretty strange. But it wasn't for Jesus. It wasn't obvious. Jesus was someone who taught with authority, who drove out evil spirits, cured the sick, restored sight to the blind, and someone who even raised the dead. Those who knew of him, according to his disciples, thought perhaps he was John the Baptist or Elijah, or perhaps even one of the prophets. And then Jesus was looking for something even more specific. "Who do you say that I am?" he asked his disciples. As in the Gospel of Matthew, Peter responded correctly, "You are the Christ," which meant Peter recognized him as the Messiah, as the anointed one of God. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells Peter that the apostle is able to know him as the Messiah because it was revealed to Peter by the Father. In today's Gospel from the evangelist Mark, Jesus' response to Peter is more subdued, but it still reveals Jesus as the Messiah. For Jesus tells his disciples not to tell others who he is. Being recognized as the Messiah, however, was only part of the message of today's passage. Peter and the others obviously didn't understand what it meant to be the Messiah, or even what it meant to be a disciple of the Messiah. Jesus was forced to rebuke Peter when the apostle refused to accept that as the anointed one of God, Jesus would have to suffer greatly, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and to be killed, only to rise from the dead on the third day. Peter was thinking in human terms and didn't understand the necessity of Jesus' suffering and death to free us from our sins. Nor did he apparently understand the price of discipleship, the need to deny himself, to lose his life for the sake of the gospel, to take up his cross, to follow the Messiah. The suffering of Jesus and the suffering of all who would follow him is reflected in today's first reading, in which the servant of the Lord trusts in the fidelity of God, who will stand by him and offer to help those who choose to follow. In this, Jesus is connected to all his disciples who suffer for his sake. Today's second reading reinforces the need for followers of Christ to become servants to others. In that passage, James chastises those whose faith is too shallow to truly reform their lives. Discipleship, James contends, requires us not only to offer the needy good wishes, but to provide for their needs as well. So what does all of that mean for us here in Dearborn Heights on this second Sunday in September? We have overheard Jesus' conversation with Peter and the disciples. We have learned that Jesus is the Messiah who is to suffer and die to fulfill his messianic mission. And we have learned that to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves, lose our lives for the sake of the gospel, and conform our hearts and minds and souls to the will of God, that we might become servants to those in need. This is what Jesus required of his disciples. This is what Jesus requires of us. Perhaps we haven't been paying attention, but Jesus has been asking each of us the same question that he asked Peter. Who do you say that I am? Some of us have perhaps heard that question in our lives and have answered it correctly, accepting all that it means to be a follower of Christ. Some of us may still be distracted by the noise and activity of the world around us, and in our lack of attention to the Lord, we have not yet heard Jesus asking us that most important question. Some of us may have heard Jesus asking, "Who do you say that I am?" but have ignored the question because we are not yet ready and willing to accept the price we would have to pay if we would choose to be a disciple of Jesus. And some of us may have heard but refused to follow, choosing not to acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord. There are, of course, many questions that we answer throughout our lives, and some are more difficult and important than others. But none will ever be more important than the question, "Who do you say that I am?" It is the question on which all else hinges. The answer to that question literally spells life or death. Can we say to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One of God"? Do we know Jesus as our Savior, without whom none of us can even hope for salvation? Much of the world today sees Jesus in unflattering terms. Some deny that he ever existed. Others see him as a prophet and teacher, but without divine nature or destiny. Some see him as a good man and leader, but not as the Messiah, as our Savior, as our Redeemer in God's plan for salvation. How do we see Jesus? Are we aware of our personal sinfulness, of our inability to even hope for the kingdom of God without the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus? Do we truly see him as our Savior? And do we know that the good news of the gospel is the forgiveness of our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus? Do we proclaim Jesus as the Messiah in the way that we treat members of our families? Do we proclaim Jesus as the Messiah in the way that we engage the world in our jobs? Do we proclaim Jesus as Messiah in the way that we view and treat the poor among us, those in greatest need of compassion and consolation? My friends, there is no more important message in the Gospels than the one that we have heard today. The only question is how we will answer Jesus each day of our lives when he asks each one of us, "Who do you say that I am?"